Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The words from Jesus in this morning's gospel text are again words of teaching as we go throughout this time of the church year when Christ is at his best teaching the crowds. But these words of Jesus are not very soft on the ears. Instead, they strike to the heart of the matter. They are words that I think Christians throughout the world would have preferred Jesus never to have said. They are challenging words that leave us shaken. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this Jesus, speaking of hatred, is not the Jesus that most of the Christian world speaks about, and most Christians throughout the world try to avoid. Many Christians work hard to keep the message of Christianity positive and upbeat, happy sounding to the ears of the masses. They want the words of Jesus to appeal at a great rate to those seeking God in the world. But that cannot be done with these words of Jesus. Where we are in Luke's gospel, Jesus still has his face resolutely set toward Jerusalem. He is heading toward his death and on the cross. He has just finished up a recent ministry tour, where he has taught new people about the coming kingdom of God. He has healed the sick in their midst. And so these new followers join the crowds that already are clinging to Jesus as he makes his way toward Jerusalem. Thousands of people going with Jesus wherever he might go. This was the ultimate mega church, and this time with portability, able to follow the Savior. Jesus was quickly succeeding at church growth merely by his presence being there. But what he said to the crowd goes against any type of church growth sentiment. His words were a wet blanket over the crowd who was on fire for Jesus. Examine the cost of following me. Are you willing to give up your family and your friends and even your own life for my sake? This is what Jesus put to the new crowds that were following after him, the same message he put to the crowds who had already been following him. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, this isn't reference to some of the earthly trials that we face as sinners in this world when we face the consequences of sin. Rather, this is Jesus talking about the cross of persecution for being a Christian. Those who are not willing to bear persecution for my sake cannot be my disciple. And so what Jesus is telling the new crowds here following after him is that he has something that is worth more than their family, worth more than their friends. Being his follower is even worth more than their own lives. Are you willing to follow Jesus at the peril of your own life? Are you willing to turn away from your own family and your own friends for the sake of Jesus and his gospel? Well, in truth, you sitting here today already have. In the rite of confirmation, professing the faith before the congregation, you announced to them that you were willing to give up all things, remain faithful to the Christian faith as taught by the Lutheran Church, and you would give up even your own life if it meant being a Christian. And do you remember making that promise? It's something that we have all said in our lives. And most of us took that oath under pretty ideal situations in our lives. For we live in the United States of America, a country known for its freedom of religion, where we can worship pretty much in any way that we so choose, without fear of the government interceding and intervening. Most of us have taken that oath under ideal situations, and persecution for us as Christians is minimal. And we all took that oath before our congregations. We didn't have the enemy of Christ lurking around the countryside waiting to kill any new believers in Jesus, anyone publicly confessing the Christ. But what if? What if 10 years from now, the radical and extremist Muslims who believe in the death and the destruction of Western society as we know it do take over this country? Christianity would not be tolerated. Churches would most likely be destroyed. Anyone found worshiping Christ would be hauled off, imprisoned, desecrated, and most likely killed. Now imagine your confirmation day in that setting, confessing before God and His church that you would rather suffer death than fall away from Christ would be that much harder for us. The very reality of your life would be that you could be killed at any moment of any day for professing Christ as your Savior, for having a magnet on the back of your car saying you belong to this church. This is far from true in this country, and I pray that it will never happen here. But it is true for other Christians throughout our world, and it was going to be true for the disciples of Jesus following him on that day. Knowing this, knowing what lay ahead for his disciples, Jesus gives those very challenging words to the crowds. But do not be mistaken. Jesus earnestly wants followers. He wants disciples. He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. In no way does he want people to turn away from him and stand condemned in their sins. But Jesus knows that being his disciple will bring danger to their lives. He wants them to follow with their eyes wide open to the reality of their future situation. He wants them to endure to life everlasting. Jesus doesn't want his followers to fail like the man who didn't know how much building his watchtower was going to cost, and ends up a mockery to his fellow man. And Jesus doesn't want his disciples to see the grave threat that the devil is with his minions to them and flee in the opposite direction and to flee from Christ. So Jesus openly, honestly, lays out to the crowds what being his follower really means, what it will be about for their lives: sacrifice, selflessness, humility, and trust, and ultimately with the reward of life everlasting. In the well-known parable, another one of Jesus' teachings, it is the parable of the sower. We have Jesus teaching there about the reality of the Christian life and the power of the Word of God. Now, if a believer in Jesus, according to this parable, does not have a firm root of faith, the ways of this world, the persecutions that the Christian will face, will destroy his or her faith. Persecutions and temptations will come, and they will be strong to have a Christian abandon Christ. For those who do, only death and damnation awaits, for we remain in our own sin. But Jesus instead teaches this so that his followers, his soldiers, are ready for what comes ahead. He sets out to prepare his church militants for the campaigns of the attacks coming from the evil one. Weak and uninformed soldiers will not last long in any battle. Poorly prepared and poorly funded builders will not be able to complete their task. Christians who are not thoroughly trained in the doctrine of Jesus and who are not sustained by his body and his blood will not survive the fight. And so the church has had good reason for its process of catechizing its members. In the ancient church, it was 3 years of instruction before new converts could join the church. This was not to be torture for the new members, but so that they would be firmly rooted and able to withstand the attacks of the devil. This is why our youth in the congregation go through 3 years of confirmation. And this is why pastors go through 3 years of education in the classroom and 1 year out in the field in order to be prepared for what lies ahead. For on our own, apart from Christ, we Christians have no hope of enduring unto life everlasting. Just like on our own, we cannot save ourselves from sin. And we don't need God's help to save us. We simply need him to save us. And likewise, we need him to strengthen us, to keep us strong, to keep us alive in the fight of our lives, this battle that we call life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, goes with us into this life, into the war. The Holy Spirit has clothed us with the robe of Christ's righteousness in the waters of baptism. And he also suits us up with the armor of the Word of God. Faithful attendance here in church, where the life-sustaining Word of Christ is proclaimed, keeps us fit for battle and equipped with the Word of God, suited up in his armor. Reception of the Lord's Supper regularly is the food that we, as the soldiers of Christ, need to remain strong for the war of our lives. And in word and sacrament, Jesus comes to us and gives us himself. He clothes us with the armor that is his word, and he feeds us with the food of himself, in with and under the bread and wine of the supper. So Jesus' words in today's gospel text are not church growth or seeker friendly. They are not for the faint of heart, those with shallow root of faith in Christ. Being a follower of Jesus, being his disciple, is not for the weak need. And yet, in our sin, this is what we all are. Christ has overcome that, though, our sins of weakness, our weak faith, by his own death and resurrection. And by the power of his word, he strengthens us unto life everlasting. For Jesus is the valiant one sent forth by God to fight the evil foe. And so Jesus' words here in Luke's gospel are not to prevent people from following him, are not to prevent people from believing in him. But actually, he says these words to give them fair warning of what lay ahead, so that they will not falter in the faith, that they will not sprout up quickly with shallow root and then quickly waste away when reality sets in. For Christ Jesus, the victor over sin and death, he bears the crown of life that he promises to those who follow after him. He will sustain you, his people, his soldiers in the church militant, by his word and his sacrament, so that you too will receive the crown of life that he will place upon your head. For Jesus has given you something that is worth more than your own life. He has given you something that is worth dying for. He has given you himself. In his precious name, amen. And now the peace that does come from Christ alone, guard and keep your hearts and minds in him until his return. Amen.